5. Oh, it's a joy to be here today. This is better than the best jail I know of. Amen. Praise God. Some of you are frowning. You've eaten gravel gravy for breakfast, I guess. And I'm going to tell you, I am too blessed to be depressed this morning. Like what Brother Mike said, well, we need to be looking. No time being looking around and looking back. Looking up. I'm glad this morning we got somebody we can look to. Oh, you glad you're here this morning?
Amen. Amen. I mean, you act like you might have the mully grubs today. Or some of you must have laid out all night at Walmart last night. Hallelujah. That's just like us, ain't it? We give God the leftovers and then expect to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Our mind ain't 4 days of this place. That's just the way the old devil does. Let's do something. Let's take time out a minute. Let's get unorthodox. Every Baptist church, you know what's going to happen next, but you don't hear. Well, Savior. Well, Savior. Thank God for it. Well, I'm on the border doing something this morning. You say, well, that preacher, I don't understand. You just hang on. You'll get light in a little bit. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved today. I've gone too far to turn back now, honey. Don't you tell me church can't be exciting. Don't tell me every church is dead, because I know better. I'm glad my Savior lives this morning. And I'm glad religion don't have me. And even if Oprah Winfrey won't dismiss in Jesus' name, I will this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we hear and that we are alive and well. And it's all about Jesus. It ain't about Muhammad. And it ain't about Buddha. And it ain't about a bunch of cows running around in the street. It's about the Lamb of God that hung and died for the sins of this world. And I'm glad saved this morning, friend. Thank God I'm in a newborn church. Thank God I've been born again by the grace of God. And I'm glad the Baptist ain't got me. Hallelujah. I'm glad tradition ain't got me. I'm glad Jesus has got me this morning. Praise His good name. I'm not dying with the rest of the crowd. Praise God. I got to turn pews over. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get you some mad. If I can get you mad, then I can preach to you. Amen. This lollipop church business, just come in the way you was and leave the way you've always been. It's the way that people go to church in the day and hour we live. But honey, I'm glad this morning that we got a Savior that's real and a worship that's in depth and a Bible that needs preaching. I'm glad I got some old songs to sing this morning. Thank God it ain't a projector up there and a woman in a dress leading this crowd. Honey, I don't know if it's dawned on you, but I ain't got no mini skirt on. There's still a few men of God that are right back and preach. Hallelujah, what a Jesus. You say, well, preaching ain't for me. Well, that's the only thing going to help you. That's what's wrong with you now. You ain't had none. The little preacher's tickling you and kissing your baby. We need some preaching. The day and hour that we live. Preaching keep you out of trouble. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. And boy, I praise Him and I thank Him for what He's doing for me in my life.
I just want to simmer a minute.
Sit there and let it digest. Just dawned on me what He's done for me. I was headed to hell in my sins. Jesus come by. Save me. Boy, and I praise Him this morning. on whom I believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Praise God, I'm glad He's still a saving of sinners, ain't you?
Ephesians 5:25.
The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Gave Himself for it. We ain't got time for me to go there. Some of you need to hear it. Amen. She ain't your old lady. You need your mouth washed out with soap. And a good spiritual kicking in the backside. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to preach on this thought that Paul described in verse 27, the glorious church. He should have used several words, but he was no accident or mistake that he would put this down by the moving of the Holy Ghost, and he called it a glorious church. That word means splendid or gorgeous or honorable. I want to say that Christ's church is just not any old church. But it is a glorious church. That word's something that we don't use a lot in the day and hour that we live, glorious. It seems as if the Holy Ghost searched around a little bit and He said, I'm looking for a word that would describe my church. He didn't say it was necessarily big. And He said it's necessarily not busy. But I tell you what it is, it's glorious. I want to preach on this thought this morning, Christ's glorious church. I want to say that it is glorious because of its Master. In Matthew 23:9, it may surprise some of you what I read today, but in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 23 and verse number 9, there the Bible says this, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. The Roman Catholic Church needs to read the King James Bible. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. The church is glorious because of its Master. I want to say in Matthew 16, in verse number 18, He is the Master Planner. It was no accident that you walked in here today. He's the Master Planner. Look what He said. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice it's not your church. And it's not the Baptist's church. But it's the Master's church. And He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sounds like any church that He has to do with, it's going to be a little hail coming against it. This ain't the lollipop ship of Zion, honey. This is the real deal. We're in God's church this morning, where He's the Master of the situation. Most folks just want enough church to say they go to church. But we don't want no church to go home with us. We want to go to church and shake the preacher's hand. And honey, at 12 o'clock you let us out. If not, we're going to pinch our lips out and we ain't coming back. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's a glorious church because of its master. By the way, where in your Bible does it say church ought to be over at 12? That's what Jezebel said. It ain't what the Bible said. Because of its master. He's the master planner. Amen. You'll sit and watch your TV for hours and hours and won't give the preacher 30 minutes. Because of its master. He's a master planner. And then notice this. He said, I will build my church. He's the master pursuer. You say, what do you get about that? He's building his church. He's calling those sinners to be saved this morning to make up his church. Isn't that amazing that this master pursuer got on your trail by the Holy Ghost and you thought it was a preacher dealing with you, but he went home with you and he went on your job with you, and when you laid down he got in the bed with you. Why? Because the grace of God was pursuing you and led you by his mercy and by his grace, and he's making up the church this morning. Hallelujah, I'm glad he went home with me. I'm glad I got a God that big. These walls don't just keep him in. Oh, I'm glad he'd go home with you. You see, he's the master planner, the master pursuer. And then he says, he's the master prevailer. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Boy, if hell ain't fighting where you go to church, you're in the wrong church. The devil tell you anything to keep you out of where the Word of God's been preached. Now you go down there where Slick Willie's preaching, devil ain't going to bother you. You go down there where everything is so orthodox and everything's planned and the Holy Ghost has no part, devil ain't going to bother you. But honey, you go to getting around old time salvation where a man of God rears back and preaches the Word of God, where the saints of God are gathered in the altar and pray for sinners, where Christ is exalted and he's the master of everything. The devil will fight you for everything that he's got to try to disencourage you, to try to get you in danger, try to cripple you, try to make everything just so you won't come back to get around that Word of God. But it's something about how sweet God is in this master. He just keeps drawing you to himself. Boy, I tell you, this preaching's something else, ain't it? A glorious church. He's the master planner. God had it all planned out. Boy, aren't you glad that he set it in motion and he lets you be a part of it? My goodness, we come in and sit down and say, well, now, Lord, I've done you a favor for coming here today. Honey, he done you a favor that you're not in the graveyard lost on your way to hell this morning. We owe him everything. You say, well, I give my tithes and I do this and I do that. Honey, he can snap his finger and snuff you out any moment of the day. He's the master planner. He's the master of this glorious church. I notice people that whine, it's all about them. Boo, hoo, 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 hoo. Whine, whine. Whine. It's all about you, and if your little feelings is all hurt, you know why? Because you want to get them hurt. You'll go to looking towards the master, friend. He's the reason we're here. By the good grace of God, we're able to come to a place like this, and it's his church this morning, and he said it's glorious. You say, well, preacher, it don't look glorious to me. Well, you just not saved. When you get the goods, honey, you'll go to running, shouting, and a squalling. Amen? You say, well, I'm not emotional, preacher. Oh, yeah? Well, then why are you blessing out the preacher at the dinner table? Sound like to me you would sweat. Sound like to me you got more emotion than what you think you got. Amen. What about when you won the lottery ticket the other day and nobody knows nothing about it? You got a little bit excited. What about the beer special you bought the other day? You got a little excited when you got a couple bucks off a case deal. Hallelujah. He said, well, I ain't emotional. What about when you go down the ballpark and your little grandbaby knocks her out? You stand up and act like you plumb crazy. You want to come to the house of God, give a holy grunt. Honey, your wood's wet this morning. Your wood's wet. It's all about you. Well, I think you're giving away too much. Well, that's why it's all about you. You think it's yours. That's your problem. He's the master. Oh, and he's so wonderful. He's the master. Oh, I'm glad he's the master. That means if he's the master, then he's in control. Oh, I'm glad he's in control of his church this morning. Boy, aren't you glad it ain't up to you to build a church? My God, it's his church, friend. He'll go home with you when I go back to the house. Oh, he's a good God and he loves sinners this morning. And he calls it a glorious church because of its master. I want to say that there's still a few places where Jesus is king. You know something? They had, after 9-1-1, Washington called a big national prayer meeting and they brought all these voodoos and voodoos. Brought all these bunch of creeps in. And let them go to pray. And this is what they said. Now, y'all can pray to your God, but it's one stipulation you can't do. You cannot use Jesus' name. Honey, let me tell you something. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by him. Ain't no cow going to get you to heaven. Ain't no voodoo doll going to get you to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus that's going to get you to heaven, or hell will be your home. In Jesus' name. He's the master of the church. It's glorious because of its master. It's glorious because of its message. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15, I love this message. Boy, I'm glad I found this. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. You say, preacher, sound like to me you found too much. I've just started. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world, and I love this, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Because of its message, it's glorious. I want to say in verse 15, its message is glorious because it's all about the Savior. He said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Buddha came to the world to save sinners. That's the NIV. But Christ Jesus, it's glorious because the message is about the Savior. It took Jesus to hang on an old rugged cross for you. Oh, it's glorious because of its message. It's about the Savior. Secondly, it's a glorious message because it's about sinners. Have you ever noticed this is plural? Verse 15, he came in the world to save sinners. Plural. Oh, I'm glad that he just didn't come to save a sinner. But he come to save sinners. Isn't it amazing? This old sin bin over here on the fence line, that lightning struck it. Thank you, Jesus. Burn it up. A lot of you patronized that place. And ain't it amazing how God reached in there and pulled you out and saved an old sinner? And you know, I can relate to you that's been on the wrong road because I was on the wrong road a long time. I can relate to people that they get out of their mind and wake up in places they don't even know how they got there. I can relate to gambling and stealing and cutting and fighting and doping and drinking. I can relate to all that. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. If God saved you as just a young little old lad of a child, You ought to thank Him that you ain't got the scars on you that I got. You ought to throw your little hands up toward heaven this morning, because you got a better testimony than I got, that a God of heaven loved you so much that He saved you at an early age and kept you out of them places across the fence. But by His amazing grace, He saved you. And boy, you got a lot to thank Him about this morning. Oh, I wish He had saved me at a little young age. I got scars in me where a plow's plowed to the bone. But honey, I read in my Bible where Jesus came to save people like me. Sinners. Oh, I'm glad He loved us enough, and it's glorious because of its message. A message about the Savior and a message about sinners. And then you'll find also it is a great message about salvation. He said in verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." It's a message about salvation. Paul said He was the pattern. By the way, if you look that Bible word up in verse 15 where Paul said, "I was the chief of sinners," and he said, you know what that means? It means he was the best. He said God saved the best sinner it was. He said, "I was the best of sin. I had it hands down, but God saved me." And honey, if He can save the chief, He can save all the Indians. I'm glad this morning that this message is glorious. Boy, ain't it something? Let me tell you something. A lot of places, sinner, don't want you. They don't want you. They want this crowd that pulls up and real stifled. They don't want this crowd that their hair's a little long. Tattoos on their arms. On their head. They don't want this crowd driving an old ragged car, old ragged clothes, come in with blue jeans on. But I want to say, see, sitting right over yonder by that table, you can have my chair. I'm glad He's saving old sinners. Boy, I'm glad He died on a cross for you. I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how wicked you've been. I don't care where you've spent the night or where you stayed last night. Jesus died for you, and He loves you in spite of yourself. It's glorious because of its message. It's glorious because of its mediator. Look right there in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 3. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Stop right there. Underline that in your Bible. If you die and go to hell in your sins, and if you die without Christ, hell's going to be your home. But I'm going to tell you something. He died for you in spite of you going to hell. This glorious mediator, who will have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's glorious because of the mediator. Now in the old Bible, there were two groups of people in the religious day that God used in the order. One was a prophet. The second was a priest. And if you was living in that era of the Bible, that was your only hope. You had a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is giving God to man. He told them about their sinfulness and their condition. So God used prophets to tell His children to get God to man. Then He used a priest. The priest had a different office than the prophet. As the prophet got God to man, The priest got man to God. And this morning I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the mediator. The Bible said when He hung on the cross and He cried these words, "It is finished." The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that no longer is the law prevalent. The law is our schoolmaster. It is our mirror. We look into the law and realize we can't live by the letter of the law. So He rent that great veil, that holy of holies, where the priest stood inside. As the child of God would come and He would ask the priest, "Here's my sacrifice." For the poor they had doves, for the rich they had bullocks. They would bring them in to the priest and they would say, "Priest, here's my sacrifice. Get me to God and forgive me of my sins." But now, by the day of grace, something's changed. We have a great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil of the temple was ripped. Now He's our great high priest. We can run to Him and He gets us to God and our sins can be forgiven. That's exactly, friend, when we dismiss in Jesus' name, your prayer don't go this high unless you dismiss in Jesus' name. Jesus gets your prayer to God. He forgives you of your sins. As a sinner bows to a holy God and he cries and he says, "Oh Lord, save me a sinner." The blood of Jesus reaches down and ushers him in the Holy of Holies. God looks at that blood and declares His Son righteous. He sees the endowment. He don't see what I did. He sees His Son. Thank God the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad this morning I'm saved by the grace of God. The great high priest, the order of the day, is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my friend. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And honey, let me tell you, a nation that gets on national TV and prays and does not dismiss in Jesus' name does not go higher than that pulpit. But when you dismiss in Jesus' name, I'm glad He's the mediator today, and Christ's church is glorious because of the mediator. Oh, I'm glad He took my sins. I stepped out in faith. All of my sins I'd ever committed. I had nothing I could bring. Simply by faith I stepped out. And by grace Jesus reached down. And He said, "Ken Bowman, I don't care what all them sins you've done. It doesn't matter to me how long you've been in them. But you've come to be my faith. I'm going to give you grace. And I'm going to apply mercy. I'm going to put love in your heart. I'm going to cast all your sins behind my back. I'm going to put them in the depths of the sea. It's a no fishing sign put up." You say, "Preacher, what about all that dope you smoke? What about all that wicked things you've done? They're in the sea of forgetfulness. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all of my sins. I'm going to heaven. I can't go to hell. Glory be to God for His unspeakable mercy and His lasting love and His good grace this morning, friend." You say, "I don't know why you're so tore up. You just ain't been where I've been and you ain't going where I'm going." I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a part of this glorious church. Oh, the great mediator. Oh, I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Friend, Jesus will take your case this morning. I was reading last night in Mark 5 about Legion. It's become one of my favorite Bible stories, Brother Randall. Reminds me of me. The Bible said he hung out in dead places, the tombs. Took stones and he was cutting himself great afflictions. Nobody liked him. Nobody trusted him. The whole community had turned their back on him and said, what's the use? He's no good. He's no count. Said, why, he just hangs out in the graveyard and he's crazy. But one day Jesus came by. And he got off the ship and he run to him and he said, oh, Jesus, what you doing here? He said, in this old country bow lingo, he said, boy, I've come to get rid of the devil. Oh, and watch this. When he saved old Legion, he said, now, go back to your home and tell your friends what great things Jesus has done. And I was reading this. It was a Bible word, and it said, and he departed. Man, can you imagine when he walked back home? Last time they seen him, he was naked. I mean, last time he was bleeding and wretched. Last time he looked like some kind of maniac, which the Bible said he was. But when he departed, he walked back home. Why, I believe even the hound dog raised up in the yard and said, my Lord, who's that coming down the road? I believe when he walked in the door, the kids started running. But I believe all of a sudden they said, oh, mama, something's different about Daddy. Said he's acting different than he's ever acted. I believe she might have run by and said, oh, what happened to you? He said, you won't understand. He said, Jesus come by and saved me by his grace. And he told me to come back home and tell you what great things he's done. He's wonderful this morning. And he's amazing by his good grace. My God, I get to see old Legion walk in Liberty Baptist Church Sunday morning. Man, I'm telling you, the one that nobody else wanted. They said, oh, he's crazy. What's the use? Said, he don't even know where he was. He's a crazy man. But boy, I bet he walked in. I bet you people got to take a notice. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. This church is glorious because of its mediator, but I close, it's glorious because of its members. Isn't that something? He'd save something like you. Something like me. Miss Sheriff, if you'd come. I like what the Bible says about these members. He said over in the book of Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, it's glorious because of its master, its message, its mediator, but last, its members. Why is it glorious? Well, look what he said, 1 Corinthians 6, and verse number 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, no revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11.
Oh, I'm glad that's there. And such were some of you. But you're washed. His members are glorious. But you're sanctified. That word means you're holy. How could a man like Ken Bowman be holy? Because the mediator. He said, you're justified. You know what that means? Innocent. All I've done? He said, yeah.
He said, when you stepped out by faith and come to where I was, he said, I forgive you of everything you ever done. You say, preacher, what about them skeletons in your closet? I ain't got none. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Though your sin be as crimson, it shall be white as snow. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm in that crowd. I've never been washed. Well, it'd be a good morning. Let him wash you clean. Well, I'll never forget the day I got saved. My, what a day I got saved. Met a man, I give Brother Mike a tape. Met a man in the Carolinas the other week. He's my kind of crowd. I'm going to have him come here and preach. He's about 50 years old. Fought chickens by day. Drunk his liquor by night. He got in a street fight and a man stabbed him. He woke up on life support. Preacher witnessed to him. Come back to his house and want him to the Lord. And he said, you know what's amazing? All that I ever did is behind me now. And though were some of you, but you're washed. Boy, and that's something as black as I was. And all the sins that I'm ashamed to put on a projection board and show you this morning. He knew everyone. And he died for everyone. And he washed me clean.